Welcome to Season 4 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, hosted by Ruby Pinto and produced by Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 99 of Soccer Over Gotham. It is Lesbian Visibility Week, and we have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
A disjointed and injury-ravaged Gotham FC lose to the Spirit on the road. And on this episode, we're going to discuss, Ruby, how many games is too many? There's an excellent article by Pardeep Khatri on how Gotham is trying to meet the demands of a lot more competition this season. We will also talk about Gotham returning to Philly. That is pretty interesting. And then an interesting turn of events at the roster deadline, Gotham brings in a keeper. And not just any keeper, a very good keeper. We'll discuss the move and what it means for this roster and the club itself and even the league. Then as injuries are piling up, we're going to discuss this long injury list and what relief could be coming in the near future. And yeah, we're going to talk about this frustrating game and what we can learn from it. Talk about possible fixes to this poor performances. And then we will preview this coming matchup at home at Red Bull Arena versus Louisville. Very excited about it. But Ruby, how are you?
I'm doing great. Actually, I'm anxiously waiting for summer to start and I need a tan like so bad. But like I was telling you earlier, today I came a little like mentally drained. So I'm trying to recharge. I went out for a walk. The sun felt good. But now like my nose is runny and I'm sneezing. So I'm probably getting like allergies starting to kick in, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's that time where like I plant in the front and the back of my yard, so I'm like, do I plant? It's good. Then I get like a freezing warning. I'm like, can I do it? Can I not? It's all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, before I had no issues with pollen or anything. It's just recently that I like been struggling with allergies, which is crazy, but it is what it is, I guess. Oh, one tip that someone told me is like, oh, you should buy local honey and that will like should help out the allergies. Haven't tried it, but maybe I will.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Ruby, should we put a post-credit scene of this episode of a snippet of our 100 interviews so people who listen to this episode get a preview of that interview? Should I?
Yes, I okay. think we should.
All right. You can go to the end of the episode, post-credit scene. There will be one question from that's not going to make the interview for next week for episode 100. I'm excited about it. Now, this is going to be next week is my last spring break week. So it's kind of hitting me. I'm getting closer and closer. Very excited about it. But Ruby, getting to this team, this Sunday is going to be a beautiful day in Harrison. It's looking to be high 70s. It's going to be awesome. And then we just found out that Misty Copeland will be at the game on Sunday to light the torch. Misty Copeland. I can't say that enough.
Don't kill me, but I had to Google her.
Oh.
I know. Don't kill me. But I learned a lot about her. And yeah, she is a legend. She is out there doing her thing. And by the way, she looks really good for 41.
Yeah, she like I do love a good ballet. she's like a prodigy, and she broke the mold. She broke through so many doors. She didn't look the part, obviously, as a dancer. She's the first African-American woman to make it to the American Ballet Theater. She was too muscular. She had curves, but she was just such a good dancer that she's better than everybody. And she was incredible. And again, she knocked on so many doors and opened other ones. It's incredible. And I can't wait to see her in person. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now I feel like we're expecting someone every home game. So that's really cool.
Yeah. But let's talk about hashtag once Gotham news. I'm pretty excited about this. Domi Richardson, former Gotham player, signed with the Tampa Bay Sun of the USL Super League. That's super exciting. I'm so happy for her. And this is just an amazing thing.
Yeah, we just found out not too long ago that she was signed by Tampa Bay Sun. Like you said, this is really interesting news. Once Gotham, she's going to be there killing it. I bet, honestly, cannot wait to see her play. And I'm so glad that all these talented players are getting a chance because like we've been saying on the show, like all these spots are really limited in the NWSL. So with this new league, it's going to give a lot of players the opportunity to showcase their talent.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier before the show, but I saw a comment of someone saying that this kind of players are going to get, I thought this was going to be Division I league, which made me very mad. And I don't have the time to argue with people online, so I didn't do it. But I've been screaming into the void for, gosh, over a decade about the opportunity level not matching the talent level and players that are just on the bubble. That if you don't make it 25 of an NWSL roster, that's not means you're not good. It just means maybe you need a little bit more time, or maybe you just don't fit that specific coach's roster.
Yeah.
So there's so many talented players out there, and this is going to give them a chance to boost their level and shine. And then, hey, maybe they can go to the NWSL when they improve.
Yeah, this is awesome. And also, it will give the national team coach, like, or whoever is doing, you know, looking for talent, they'll have to look at these games as well to, like, you know, maybe there's a player that has potential in the national team. You never know.
Yeah. Let's also talk about Gotham FC. And there was a really, really good article, and I want to shout her out. Bardeep Khatri did a really good job covering Gotham FC for this article. And it talks about the increase in demand that these soccer players are going through, especially this year compared to last year. And the article reads, "Look no further than the schedule Gotham are poised to face in 2024. In addition to the 26 regular season games on the schedule, they took part in the Challenge Cup, and they could face three additional matches in the playoffs should they make a successive run into the finals. They could also play anywhere from 3 to 5 games in the first edition to the NWSL versus Liga MX Femenil Summer Cup, then in another 5 to 7 games in the inaugural CONCACAF W Champions Cup, which they are expected to be invited as the reigning champions." So it goes from a possibility of 31 games, I think they played last year, to a possibility of 42 games. So coupled with, you know, the Olympics that are coming up, obviously we're losing players for that. So it's going to be a crazy, incredible load on these players. The increased resources are not just needed to reduce soccer inequities, but because of a worrying trend in emerging in the women's game. According to a report published in December by FIFA Pro, the union representing all soccer players, more matches, less rest, and longer travel led to an increase in ACL tears for women's soccer players. It has led several vocal figures in the game to criticize the load on the players, including Gotham head coach Juan Carlos Amoros. He spent much of the last months criticizing the timing of the CONCACAF W Cup, which took place weeks before the preseason, and we had players injured from that tournament. So, Ruby, your thoughts on this crazy increased load for the players?
Yeah, I mean, a potential 42 games for this year, it sounds a lot. It's going to be a lot physically. It's going to be a lot mentally. It's going to be challenging to focus on multiple tournaments going on this year, especially for those national team players that have to focus on club and also focus on the Olympics. That's going to be really challenging for them. So it's really crazy that we have a potential 42 games, especially right now with Gotham. I think this is going to negatively impact the team, especially with so many players injured. Like, honestly, I think Gotham right now and Coach Amoros is like looking everywhere to see what they're going to do. We have so many players out injured, and we're going to have players out during the Olympics. And he has to, you know, think about the regular season, think about the NWSL with the Liga Femenil, and now like just adding more to it. So it's pretty crazy. I don't know how they're going to like do these tournaments, like if they're going to do the NWSL and Liga Femenil like every year, every couple years. Like, they have to take in consideration like these tournaments that are landing on important years, like the Olympic year. Another big year is the World Cup year. So adding all these things on top of those two tournaments, it's a lot.
Yeah, after the World Cup last year, they did an anonymous survey of the players, and almost like 70% of them said that they did not have enough time to prepare, and they didn't have enough time coming back to rest. So it's just too much demand, and obviously we haven't learned any lessons from that because we're just increasing the amount of games to these players. As I always say, I think the rosters should be increased because this is going to, you know, you're talking about last year we had national team replacement players. We had, what, five or six? Mm-hmm. And this year we're probably going to need about 10 of them. I don't know if we're allowed 10 of them. But it's just trying to navigate all of these things and getting everybody minutes. And, you know, you might just roll in with one of these tournaments with just like your complete B squad because you just, you know, you got to protect players. You can't just put so much of this demand on them. It's tough.
Yeah, it looks like they're taking no days off to another level.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And, you know, like, we've seen the increase of ACLs out there. It's so crazy, everything that's happening. I don't know who's working on it, but hopefully someone is taking the charge on research on this, because it's crazy how many players are out due to that injury.
Yeah, we lost two players in the league this week, one from Bay, and I think one from KC or something like that. There's two players that are out now because ACLs. It's crazy. And it's not just like just the injuries. It's just so much travel, and they need to start chartering flights because it's like, it's just tough. That's why a lot of players from overseas don't want to come here because the travel is just incredible. And yeah, so there's a lot of things they got to do. And I just hope for the best this season because it's going to be madness when he gets down the road. And speaking of traveling, Gotham is heading back to Philly, which is super interesting, kind of out of the left field, but all right. And the game on July 28th for the NWSL versus Liga MX Femenil Summer Cup is going to be in Philly, which is going to be, again, really, really interesting. And priority presale for Gotham FC, Washington Spirit, and Philadelphia Union season ticket members begins May 6th at 10 a.m. Ruby, your thoughts on this event coming to Philly?
Well, and I feel like it's a yearly thing now going to Philly, kind of like maybe they have some type of partnership like that. Who knows? But we've been going to Philly, I feel like, every year. I like it. I don't like to travel so much because I'm far, but I'm pretty sure that people that live in Pennsylvania and near Philly like appreciate that the games, at least one game, is being played there. And I mean, it just gives visibility to Gotham. This tournament will kick off July 19th. There will be 33 matches total, with 30 matches in group stage. There's five groups here, and the top four with the most points, the teams that have the most points, will advance to the semifinals.
That's so bizarre to like have a group winner that doesn't advance.
I know. I was thinking about that. I'm like, doesn't matter if you're on top of your group, if you have the least amount of points, still going home.
Gotham's group is the Red Stars, Washington Spirit, and Chivas. And that's going to be an interesting, because Chicago's playing really well right now. Washington's obviously a tough team, and Chivas should be a very interesting matchup as well. We've been to Philly twice already for Gotham FC. The first time was the incredible 7-minute silence that they had. It was the Carly Lloyd's homecoming game. Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And I got heckled for 65 minutes, but it was fine. So the first time, it was nice because there was no games being played at that time. So we had a big crowd. It was like 8,000, 9,000 fans in the Philly Stadium, which it's a nice stadium. It's right off the water. It's next to the bridge. And it's a beautiful like little backdrop. It feels like a very, like, very good college stadium. But the second time we went back, Philly was playing at the same time away and Red Bull was playing home. So there was like 3,000 to 4,000 people there. So the timing was bad. But I think for this one, Red Bull plays the day before, and I think Philly plays the day before. So this should be clear. So everyone's schedules should be open to go to this game. So I'm expecting a big crowd, and they better show out.
Yeah, hopefully there's a big crowd. But out of the three matches here that they're going to play, I feel that the one that I really, really want to see, it's Gotham against Chivas.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Yeah.
So let's get some team news. We have a new player, and Gotham has brought on board keeper Anne Katrine Berger from Chelsea FC. She winks a one-year deal until 2024 with a possible extension for 2025. This is super interesting, Ruby.
I think this is an interesting signing. Another keeper. I feel like Gotham is the only team with so many keepers right now. On roster, they have Abby Smith, Casey Miller, Michelle Batos. And they also had replacement keeper Aaron McKinney. And now Berger, like, joins Gotham, which is really good. I mean, she's a, like you said, she's a high profile keeper. So it kind of makes me wonder now what's going on with Abby Smith. Does this mean that she's probably not coming back? I don't know.
That is the million-dollar question right now. They dropped the replacement keeper. So now Gotham's back to having four keepers on roster, which is interesting enough. I think Cassie has been doing a really good job holding down the fort until Abby or Anne gets up to speed. She has one of the lowest goals against in the league. That hasn't been the issue. Like, keeping has not been Gotham's issue. And I think that does bring up the question of how long is Abby Smith out for? And I think, obviously, you don't bring in a keeper like this if Abby Smith is ready to go.
It just
doesn't make sense. A fourth keeper to a team that has 8 or 9 Beal players out is another very interesting development.
Yeah.
And then a question from the fan, and says, is there a reason Miller keeps inviting mistakes by passing short in the back when under pressure? Is she our best option? Because sure, decisions at time are glaringly lacking from a fan's perspective. Now, playing out of the back is something that Gotham does. That they need, they need their keepers to play with their feet. It's just, it is what it is. And if you remember, last season, Abby Smith is not the best keeper with her feet either. She is very similar to Cassie, and she'll make great one-on-one saves, and she's got great range and makes herself really big and makes these game-saving saves, but not the best with their feet. So that may be why they brought in the new keeper, to, that she's better on distribution, help kickstart some of the offense. But yeah, I don't know, other than that's just by design.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. You know, this is the style Gotham uses for their keepers, where they kind of like start from the back. Like you said, Miller is a fine keeper, but I think Abby Smith just set the bar really high last season with Gotham. But there's always room for improvement. She's very talented, but sometimes, I kind of get it. You feels like she you kind of wonder why she decided to do X thing at that time. Maybe she, like, there's some balls that I'm like, just kick, and she will wait till the last minute to kick it. Those were really nerve-wracking. But hey, yeah, that game, well, we're going to talk about the game later on.
Yeah, she's no Mandy Hott with the ball at her feet. The new keeper, obviously, is a very likable figure. She comes across as calm and thoughtful. She has beaten thyroid cancer twice. She's a big, calm presence. She's good in distribution and one of the best penalty stoppers in the world. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about her coming in and see what she can do. I don't know how quickly she's going to be up and running up to speed. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, just beating cancer twice, that's really crazy. And, you know, you can tell she's a fighter, and her resilience, just that makes me feel good about the player that we got, because she's mentally strong, physically strong. It doesn't matter what's going on, she's just going to keep going.
Yeah, she's won 4 WSL titles, 3 FA Cups, 2 League Cups with Chelsea, and she's kept 60 clean sheets. She's still a top keeper in the world. And it's another, I'd say, shot across the league that big players, they're not going to LA. They're coming to New York. And speaking of LA, they're kind of a mess over there. I mean, sorry, Becky. They're looking for new ownership. I mean, they just traded Nielsen to Houston. Sorry, Paige. And then Henri to Utah. Sorry, Henri. They didn't bring anybody in. So I'm not sure if they're hanging all their hopes on Press returning, but things will look good for them over there.
No, it really doesn't. Like, I really thought this season they were going to start strong, but it's too many things going on right now in LA.
Yeah, and again, the Big Ten players are coming here instead. Fine by me. So let's talk about this game, shall we?
Let's do it.
Do we have to?
Right, do we?
Gotham sits above the line with a game in hand, and Esther is leading the line with 2 goals in 3 matches, and Ryan has created 10 chances over 3 matches and 2 assists, which is awesome. Defense is tied for the lowest in goals against. And then Washington is an interesting opponent because it's a new players, new philosophy. They're relying on rookies early. They've been shut out in their last 2 matches. You know, but with Rodman, there's always a chance for magic. And Katja Korolevo is the ref who was also the ref for our championship final game which is really nice. Now, this availability report, it is really long. Edmonds, Fairley, O'Hara, Lavelle, Freeman, Smith, Cerboni, Burse, and Svava. Still on the list, even though I have no idea why she's there. She's apparently still on contract. But yeah, your thoughts on this list. I mean, Mandy is on the list, which stinks.
Yeah.
But Lynn is off.
No, like, I feel like we take a step forward and we take two back every week. It feels like that way. But I'm glad Lynn is off that list. And hopefully soon we will get at least a couple of players out of there as well.
We had Lynn, Gonzalez, and Stangelis. These are the best available out of what's left of our roster. And then midfield, Neely Martin gets the rest. And then Sonnet is in her place, and Sheehan and Ryan above her. Then we got Nyswanger, Davidson, Lopez, and Bernina for about 20 minutes. And then Miller in goal. Any thoughts on this lineup, Ruby?
Look pretty strong to me, but yeah. And this is Lynn's first start of the 2024 season. So that's awesome. She was able to start. I've been asking for Dunn to start, and I still don't get Dunn and Stengel together. I don't know what's going on. Come on, Juan Carlos. But yeah, really good roster, especially in the back line. Nyswanger, Davidson, Lopez, Bernina, solid.
With Dunn, it is an interesting thing. And you have to wonder if part of this is national team duties as well. Because when you have a national team player, you're not just managing their minutes for your squad. You also have to be in constant contact with the national team. Like, how many minutes is too many minutes? And, you know, you never know. So that could be a reason. But I think everybody was screaming for Dunn to start, considering how well she did last game. I'm glad that Williams is back, obviously. And I'm glad Neely got a little bit of a break. She's been running pretty much 90 minutes every game. And yeah, I think that some of these national team players are getting minutes reduced, maybe because it's getting closer to the Olympics.
Yeah, less than 100 days. So they're just trying to keep them healthy.
Gotham has been having trouble controlling the midfield. I mean, the Spirit are just overloading the middle, and Gotham is finding just little success. They're finding some on the outsides, mainly the left side with Williams. And then Williams drops more centrally, and Esther drops into more of the 9-10 roaming striker role. We'll talk about that. But Gotham continues to turn the ball over in the middle of the park. And then similar to last season when we played our team next week, Racing, when DeMello was just picking up the ball in the middle of the park and just finding space over the top, Washington was doing that over and over and over again. And Bethune found a little bit too much space towards the top of the box and just laces one by Miller, and it's down one at half. And that felt like a little bit backbreaking a little bit. But I think, you know, fans are just asking for changes, and again, asking for Crystal Dunn.
Oof. And that goal from Bethune. Oh my God. That was such a beautiful goal. I'm not even going to lie. Like, she found the perfect spot in the bottom corner of the goal. That was beautiful. Like, Miller missed it like by so little. It was crazy. It was beautiful. And I hate this game, honestly, because I was so hopeful that Gotham was going to come out and dominate, and, you know, like, this was their game. But it didn't really happen that way. I think Dunn came out a little too late into the game to make a difference. I feel like by the time she got into the field, like, the energy was not there. I don't know. Something felt off that day for some reason. And, you know, Washington, once Dunn came in, Washington already had Gotham all figured out. And Gotham was just cracking under the pressure.
Obviously, losing Davidson in the 20th minute was not good for us. And then, obviously, my Tani said that's when the team lost a little bit of its defensive shape. We'll talk about that in a bit. I mean, there were some chances there, and I think Gotham is too timid in the attacking third. You're right, that goal was beautiful, and those are one of those goals where it's like, okay, if they're going to beat us, let it be that kind of goal. Fine, right? I'm thinking about it as a Gotham player, as far as confidence goes. Like, I don't know if a Gotham player is taking that shot. Maybe Esther, maybe Ryan.
Ryan did this game. She shot from far. Mm-hmm. Didn't make it, but at least she tried.
Yeah, but those are pretty only two that are going to take that shot. Okay, Nyswanger. Nyswanger loves hitting from there. So that would be those
Cerboni three. Cerboni when she's healthy. Oh, my God, stop.
Yeah. it was just really frustrating. And this was just not a good performance in the first half. It was just, they were missing on passes before the chance, if that makes sense to the listeners. It's the entry pass was off. They miss a pass that's going down the line, which comes across, and like it's the pass before the chance.
Yeah.
And they're just not dialed in, not confident. Just, it was very frustrating. But I think Bruninha put in a very good performance in the first half. There was one moment where Miller comes out of the box and then Rodman chips her, and then Bruninha clears it all, like clears it before it gets to the line. And you know, people were trying, even the announcers were criticizing like Cassie for like not getting the ball, but she did the right thing. She slowed down Rodman. She forced her to go up, and it gave her just enough time for Bruninha to get back. So I said that's a good on Cassie Miller, and not, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing on her, but just slowing down Rodman just enough for Bruninha to clear it.
Yeah, that play was a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And thank God Bruninha was there. She, like, as a defender, she understood the job because, you know, she dropped down to pretty much, like, save or, you know, defend the goal because Miller was out. So that was a great thing that Bruninha did at that moment. So she had an incredible game.
Yeah, Bruninha. She did. And, you know, fans were asking for adjustments in the second half, and Gotham really didn't make any. You know, things are not going well when you see Esther sitting at on the back line waiting for passes and trying to get on the ball. And it's just, that shows a lack of trust in her team to get her the ball where she wants it. And yeah, and it's, you know, the unfortunate handball, the handball's whatever, but that just sank the team. And just, there was no way they were getting out of that. And unfortunately, they head home 2-0.
Oof. So Gotham here is taking another loss, and it's not good. And this loss, I believe, was pretty conservative because it was only 2-0. This game could have been different because all the chances that Washington had were a lot. It could have been at least a 4-0 game.
Yeah. It's been a rough start to the season, yeah, to say the least. You know, show me any club that's down 9 players and they're not going to look their best. We played the Wave, Courage, Portland, Casey, the Spirit. You know, outside of Portland, I mean, those are like the top teams in the table in the league. And I'll say it again, the penalty is whatever. Gotham is still hard to score on. And Casey put up another 5 goals this weekend, but, you know, Gotham held them in check for most of that game. I think we need not to get panicked here. I think Gotham should make the playoffs, and players are going to get healthy at some point.
Yeah, if it helps, we still have 1 game in hand, so maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be back above the line if we win that game. Yeah, I think overall, I think Miller did a pretty good job this game. She made a couple of saves early on that were Abby Smith-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, goalkeeper's never been our issue.
Yeah, again, for me, Bruninha, she had a great game. She was really, really hustling in this game. And I think she was the highest rated player.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's not up to standard, and they know it. We all know it. But, you know, I have faith that they're going to get it together. We still got plenty of time. So the post-game quotes. I think it's no surprise we didn't play to our potential in this game. I think we can go back to the drawing board and see where everything went wrong. I don't want to speak on everything right now because I think emotions get high, and we have the ability to have a second, and I see, okay, actually broke down. But the exciting part is that we have an amazing team. We know we didn't play to our potential, so we're going to go back to the drawing board, going back to training. Like Maitani says, it's the most exciting part. We have another game. We have to look forward, and if we dwell too long, we won't be prepared for next game, and that's Lynn Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think when you're coming out of a game like that, you're frustrated, you have a lot of emotions. So yeah, it's better to like go back to it later in training and then just fix whatever is going wrong. And like I said last episode, I know there's things that they need to change and things they need to work on, but it was not going to happen in this game. Like all of a sudden, everything clicked. So yeah, maybe in a not next one, but the next maybe. But we need them to like start clicking by next game.
Yeah, I agree with Lynn on the frustration. I don't agree with the drawing board. We'll get to that a little bit later. I don't think it's that bad that you got to go back to a drawing board.
Yeah.
But Juan Carlos, he says, we're looking internally on how we can do things better in that aspect, talking about the injuries, because at the moment, it's no secret that we have a lot of injuries. We are analyzing everything we can do as a club to make sure that, you know, we can do better.
Yeah, it's really tough going into the season with so many players out. And that leaves the coach, leaves you with limited options. Do we think that Gotham has a chance to win another championship here this season? That's the real question. With the many players that are out, it's going to be really, really, really tough. And personally, I think, you know, it's just going to be difficult in the current situation.
I mean, half the injuries came in the preseason. So it's like, you can look internally all you want, but, you know, it is, some of these are, it is what it is. And Midge's injury on turf, you know, unfortunate. It stinks. So Ruby, do you have any stats of the game?
Yes. So my stat of this week is 11 shots, 11 total shots for Gotham. Seven were inside the box and four were outside the box.
That's not a bad clip for a game. It's not a bad clip. My stat is a little bit more depressing. it is zero big chances created. And we've only created two big chances over four games. And Washington had four big chances just in this game alone. So that's where the issue is in chance creation. So let's get to our player of the game. Fans chose Bernina above everybody else. And so what do you think, Ruby?
I agree with the fans. Bernina is the player of the week for me. Just because of that save, like, that was really, really good.
I was going to give a tie to Bernina and Miller, but I think the fans swayed me. Let's go, Bernina. Let's talk about a fan poll. So I stick fan polls everywhere. And I put this one on our podcast page. So if you click on the link when I posted on Twitter, you click on the link and it goes to our podcast page. There's a poll there. And it said, what player do you want to see more of? Torres, Bell, Stevens, and Freeman, and Torres won, which was interesting. What did you think, Ruby?
I think that's interesting because I think that's the, well, we haven't seen Bell. She's new, and Stevens. But just because Torres was out last year, I guess that's why fans want to see more of her. Like, she's been with the club for a couple of years now. And yeah, I think we need to, like, we had her on the show as well, but we need to, like, highlight her a little more, I guess.
Yeah, I'm in between Torres and Bell. I do want to see Torres get back on the field and show what she's capable of. But I'm curious with Bell. She showed well in the preseason, and she's got incredible skill set. How tall she is, that she's good in the air. She's got a little bit of speed, and she seems to be comfortable with the ball at her feet. So I think you know, maybe we give her a shot, see what she can do. Maybe this weekend, maybe we'll see her. So fan questions, Ruby, any update on the injuries? They appreciate it's been difficult to get info. You're not kidding, but that's a big thing on everybody's mind. Any lessons from this week?
Well, we don't really have any updates on the injuries, unfortunately. We try, but we'll keep asking, see if they tell us anything. Any lessons from this week? I don't know. I would say create chances. That's what we need to learn.
Nothing definitive. And this is just me speculating, but I expect Sinead Farley and McCall to be returning very, very soon. At least them two. Hopefully sooner than later.
Maybe even Edmonds, because I just saw Gotham post her in training. So maybe Edmonds as well.
Yeah, we could use her. You could use her as well. And so that lessons learned, I think that fixing as far as like the defensive structure, which mentioned by Maitani Lopez, like, I don't think there's anything inherently or particularly wrong here. It's still early in the season. I think Gotham didn't start that all hot that last year either. I mean, I think Ruby, if you remember how many saves of the week, game saving saves of the week, did Abby Smith have early in the season last season?
So every other game, she was there like week after week, and she was winning too.
Yeah. And I think it's continuity here. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of new players that came in, didn't get a preseason. And again, you're bringing a bunch of new players, just getting used to the system. It's been tough. And then, you know, with injuries, it's just playing together. Like, looking like at the back line itself, we've had three different back line pairs in four games. So Davidson and Hyatt played together twice. And then we had Hyatt and Lopez, and then Davidson and Lopez. So I imagine that in practice, they are really focusing on building the partnership between Davidson and Lopez. So them not being able to play together where my Tani's hurt and then Davidson's hurt and then Hyatt's been playing in between. It's been tough. So I think the most important thing that we take from this team is that they need continuity. They need to start playing together. Yeah.
And again, yeah. And like I said, when Krieger was leaving, it was going to be hard to find someone to fill those shoes. And we're seeing exactly that right now. It's going to be hard to like get that player that clicks with the other. So hopefully they could figure that one out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Onto the standings. Casey Kern is on top of the standings, on top of the world right now.
They have four wins
and they only drew once, and that was against us. So defense, good job, defense. And they have scored 17 goals in four games. Insanity. And they've given up 10. So it's just a goal fest from front start to finish. It's just bonkers with those Sams. So Washington Spirit behind them, Chicago Red Stars, and the North Carolina Courage. Orlando Pride, the team we're playing this week, Racing Louisville, always stuck in the middle. Then Angel City is above us. Bay FC is above us. Portland Thorns and the San Diego Wave above us now. Tied on points. But then Gotham in 11th. And then rounding out the bottom is the Houston Dash, Seattle Reign, and the Utah Royals. Anything jump out at you on these standings, Ruby?
Yeah, it looks so much different than last year. That's for sure. So right now, like looking at Louisville, they have one win and three draws. I guess it's safe to say that we're probably going to have a draw here. I'm not used to seeing Gotham so low, the 11th. They need to like figure something out quickly before it catches up to them and they stay at the bottom.
This is the first time since the second week of last year when we've been below the line. So we still have, you know, game in hand. So if we win that game in hand, we're back above the line again. Fine. And yeah, so is that. But I think it's into the bottom of the table is interesting. Mm-hmm. Utah, you know, with the roster they put together, it's going to be that kind of year for them. It's going to be a little bit rough. Seattle, I actually kind of expected them to be down there because they just did not replace players. They lost Pino. They lost, obviously, Lavelle and Sonnet. And they just did not bring in players. So that's on them. And Houston's a complete mess. Yeah. So you expect them to be down there, but not expecting Gotham to be in 11th. Hopefully we can jump up pretty quickly there. Speaking of middle of the pack Racing Louisville, let's talk about them. They are, I always consider them a middle of the pack team. I don't think they're really good. I don't think they're really bad. And you kind of know who they are. And if you go back to last season, Kanu is a menace and she leads the attack. Koniak, DeMello, and Howell lead in the midfield. It's a pretty decent midfield. And they are coached by former Gotham FC assistant Bev Yanez. And she got her first win last week. So good for her. Your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
Yeah, I mean, middle of the pack, like you said, they're not bad. They're not the best, but they're there. I mean, I think Gotham needs to start putting like the foot on the gas. There has to be they need to have some momentum and they need to go into this game with, you know, with that mentality to win. I mean, you go every game wanting to win, but there has to be like that extra, like something that want, like they need to try a little harder. I don't know what's going on right now. They seem a little funky. Hopefully it's going to be a beautiful day in Red Bull. So hopefully like being at Red Bull, playing at home and with all the fans, probably they'll make a difference and they'll get it going.
Yeah, it's another team with a really good midfield. And I think this is where the game is going to be won and lost in that midfield. And I want to see Gotham lock down this midfield. I'm hoping, you know, maybe we can see Crystal Dunn start in the 10. I would love to see her start there and have Neely Martin and Ryan beside her. I think that's a pretty good midfield to start against this Racing team. So what are we manifesting this week?
So for this week, all I'm going to manifest is just a win and no more injured players, please.
Yeah,
we need to shorten that list.
I'm manifesting that two players get upgraded to questionable, at least questionable. So hoping some positive movement. So I just want it to be at least two shorter this weekend. And I feel it feels like I'm asking for a lot, but it is what it is. Any random thoughts before we go?
No, I don't have random thoughts today. Do you have any?
So they released the goalkeeper jerseys. Then Gotham fans complained that there's no Neely Martin option. And then they gave us a Neely Martin option. And then as soon as I saw it, I click on the link and it's like sold out.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was sold out like so fast. So,
oh, that is crazy. Oh my God, that is awesome. And yeah, you got to give the fans what they want. And they pretty much got it. Yeah, they got Neely Martin. That is so crazy to have a Neely Martin goalkeeper jersey out there.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the goalkeeper jersey she wore did not have her name on it. So you could get the blank goalkeeper jersey and still call it a Neely Martin jersey.
Oh, yeah. That's so true.
Save yourself the $30. But it's still better to have the Martin on there. So I'm excited about that. And obviously, lesson to the team and the league that these goalkeeper jerseys were a hot item. Make more of them.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've had them in a while.
Yeah. Mayors sold out in 3 hours. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's craziness. So I am ready for Lesbian Visibility Week at Red Bull Arena. Are you ready, Ruby?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything, so please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. You're from Pennsylvania, and I don't know if you can answer this question, but we can just say no. But are you more New York or New Jersey now?
You know, I'm more New Jersey right now, but I'm like going into this season of exploring New York. And like, I went to Brooklyn the other day on our day off and I fell in love with it. And I was like, okay, I can really get into this because I have a hard time with crowds. So I just have to like pick and choose my times. But with the weather changing, I'm getting more energy to like make the trek to the city. And it's just been positive. So I'm excited.
All right, fans, that's all we have for you today on episode 99 of Soccer Over Gotham. A huge thanks to all of you for tuning in. We appreciate your continued support. And that little snippet that we just played, that's a small taste of our incredible upcoming interview with Gotham FC midfielder and just all around incredible human being, Sinead Farley. Get hyped because episode 100 is going to be a fun one. We're going to be diving deep with Sinead Farley about her storybook year from returning to the league, her reflections on playing at the World Cup, overcoming Portland with Mana Shim, overcoming her fears, and becoming a champion. Sinead is one of the most thoughtful and introspective guests we've ever had. You just don't want to miss it. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest updates on Gotham FC news. We are 1 week away from episode 100. Can't wait. Thanks you all for listening, and let's go Bats.